Today's gospel is from the Gospel of John, the 8th chapter, beginning with verse 31. Then Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." They answered him, "We are descendants of Abraham and have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean by saying you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not have a permanent place in the household. The son has a place there forever. So if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. Well, some of you know, I grew up in Southern California, a place famous for Disneyland and Hollywood and beaches, but also fairly renowned for smog. And if you don't know what smog is, it's that name we have for dirty air, that kind of yellowy, brown, polluted, smoky air that kind of surrounds the Southern California area. And I'm a little bit defensive of California because it's not completely our fault. We have 15 million people, and it just so happens we have these mountains right to our eastern side, and we have the ocean to our western side. And so with 15 million people, all the stuff we create is blown and kept inward by the wind from the ocean, and then the mountains don't allow it to escape. And so for many years, the Southern California area has suffered from smog. And I knew this growing up there, but what was strange was I didn't really think of it as a very big problem. I didn't think of the air as that dirty, and basically wasn't aware that it was, you know, particularly dirty while I was growing up, until I met my wife. My wife and I met at a Bible camp we worked at. We worked together for a summer, and we fell in love, and I remember when I was getting to know her, she was telling me, "You know, it's nice in California, but my throat just, you know, I feel like congested and my eyes burn. It's because of all that smog you guys have. It's because of your polluted air." And I said, "The air's not that bad. Smog isn't really a big problem. We're fine." And, you know, whatever, we went on talking. And then that summer finished. We were still together, and we spent a year apart, where I was at my college in Southern California, and she was at hers in Northern Arizona. And after about a year of being apart, I decided I was either going to follow her there and continue the relationship or break up with her, and because this was too hard. So I decided I didn't want to break up at all, and so I moved to Northern Arizona to be near her. And then there was a time when we went back to California to visit my folks. And when you drive into Southern California, you always got to go over this mountain range that I was talking about. So we were going over the San Bernardinos up, then we level off, and then you start going down into the great valleys that make up Southern California. And then I saw it. I saw a layer on top. The highest part of the sky was kind of blue, like you would expect sky to look. And then below that was this layer of yellowish brown haze that just started and covered the entire air around the cities. And it went all the way to the ground. And I looked at that and I went, "Oh, that's the smog, I guess, right? Smog really is a problem. I guess it really is there." It's funny with something like smog, when you're in it, you can't really see it. You're not really aware it's there. But when you leave it and then come back to it, suddenly you can see what it is. Well, that's the truth about life sometimes. Sometimes the things that most surround us, that we know most well, are the things that are hardest to see. And one of the things God tells us, one of the things Jesus wants us to know, is that in this world, we're surrounded by forces, which often seem kind of invisible. Things that can either draw us towards God and turn us into the people we're meant to be, or other powers that draw us towards a kind of enslavement to things that make us less than we're meant to be, an enslavement towards losing our sense of God. And kind of like smog, when we live in the world, sometimes it's hard to even see what's going on, to see these powers that pull us different ways, and to even know which are the things that enhance our lives and lead us closer to God, and what are the things that reduce our lives. What are the things that really set us free in God's love, and what are the things that we just chase that are a waste of time, that really aren't worth anything, and yet seem so important? Well, today we enter into this conversation about what surrounds us and what are the things that can set us free, or what is the thing that can set us free, and what is the thing that enslaves us. It's part of a section in the book of John, a Gospel of John, where Jesus is talking to people in the temple. They're there doing what you do in the temple, saying their prayers, doing their offerings, and Jesus starts a conversation with some of them. And it begins kind of pretty open. They're hearing about him, and he's telling them about how he's one with the Father, and they're kind of interested. And then we get to this part where they start having a few problems, and then it goes on much after the part we're reading where they basically have a debate and they turn on Jesus. And in this section, maybe the most famous line that we come across is this word that Jesus says, where he says, "If you continue in my word, you will find the truth, and the truth will set you free." Right? He tells them that living in his word, living in his way, will set them free. And maybe as Christians or those who have been around the gospel, that sounds like a pretty nice thing, right? Jesus will set us free if we continue in his truth. Yeah, sounds like a nice word. But did those who listened, who were there, like what Jesus was saying? No. Did they hear what Jesus was saying and think it was a good idea? No. Why? Why didn't they want to hear him telling them that he could set them free? Well, because when Jesus said, "If you follow me, I can set you free," when he says, "I'll set you free," he must be implying that they're enslaved and that they needed to turn to him to find the truth. And this was an offensive idea to them. They were thinking, "We're not enslaved. We're God's people. Not only are we covenant people, not only are we the Jews, but we're in the right club of the Jews. We're the ones who are going to temple and we're doing what we're supposed to do. How can we be enslaved to anything like sin? Sin really isn't an issue for us. We're the good ones." And Jesus responds to this claim they make, where they say, "We've never been enslaved to anything. We're sons of Abraham." He responds to it by saying that anyone who commits sin is enslaved to sin, but that they can be set free in him. And so basically he tells them that they're sick and they need healing like anyone else. I was talking to a chaplain recently who works with the prison populations, and he was telling me about how you can really tell very quickly when you walk into a prison cell and interact with someone, the person who's ready to start to find healing and turn their life around, and the person who's not ready to start healing. He says, you can tell when you go into a room and someone is just open, and they tell you who they are honestly, and they express remorse for what they've done, and they're ready to figure out, maybe they don't have everything figured out, but they're ready to start the process of figuring out what they need to change to turn their lives around. And then he says, there are others you walk in their prison cell and they're not open. He talked about going into a cell recently and introducing himself. And he said, quite literally, the man crossed his arms and he looked at him and he said, "I don't need you. I'm doing just fine." Well, it would be easy to pick on the prison population when we're talking about repentance and reformation and being open to God. It would be easy to say, well, they're in prison. They've done something bad. They're on the wayward path. So yeah, they do need to repent. They do need to be open to God. But the truth is, all of us are tempted to cross our arms to God and say, "I don't need you. I'm doing just fine." All of us are tempted to close our hearts to how God is inviting us to be free. And here's the interesting thing about today's reading, when Jesus was telling people he can make them free and telling them that they were enslaved. His audience was not people in prison. It was not people with bad reputations. It was the religious faithful of the day. These are the people who were at the temple, the faithful Jews, who were doing what everyone agreed was what you needed to do to earn God's favor. And they had their own thing going. They would go to the temple, they would say the prayers you're supposed to say, they would offer their offerings, and they would end up with their, you know, their understanding of what God's will was for them. And they didn't want Jesus coming in and stretching their comfortable little sense of what being religious is, right? And that's what Jesus did for them, and it's what he does for us. He affirms when we have faith, that's great, but then he wants to stretch it out and redefine it and turn it upside down and call us into more. And he stretches their faith by telling them that they needed to follow him to find true freedom. And just like the people he was talking to at that time, I don't think any of us really want to hear Jesus say that to us, right? The "follow me." On the one hand, it sounds good because we want to be blessed. We want a relationship with God. We want it, right? That sounds good. But we want a relationship with God when time allows. But please, God, don't ask me to do too much. Don't ask me to change too much. Don't ask me to call, don't call me to serve in ways that I'm uncomfortable with, that are inconvenient, that might take some time. I don't know if you've ever felt this way. I certainly have, where I read who Jesus is and some of the things he says, and I think, maybe I'll get around to that eventually, you know, serving the poor or forgiving my enemies, but not yet. I'm just not ready. Well, Jesus says this is the way to be free, is following in his way and knowing him. And I think on this day, in this reading, you should all hear this, that Jesus does want us to be free. Jesus wants to set us free. He wants us even to be happy, right? It's true when people say Jesus wants us to be happy. But the thing is, he only has one way to offer freedom to us, and that's life with him. That's life following him as one of his disciples. And it's not that Jesus is trying to withhold from us other ways of finding happiness and joy and true freedom. It's that there are no other ways for Jesus to give us. And it's true, right? If Jesus really is Lord and Savior, if Jesus really did die for us, if Jesus really is trying to be active in our lives and showing us the way to live in this world, then that's the starting point for everything else, right? That's the most important thing. It may not be the only important thing. There are other important things, too, in life, right? There's our family life. There's our work life. There's our relaxing. There's lots of important things. But Jesus would claim we can't celebrate any of these important, any of these other important things. We can't do the work for any of these important things unless we do them as followers of Jesus. When we don't do them as followers of Jesus, we don't do them as well. We're not the people we're meant to be as family members, as workers, as people who live in this world. Well, it's Reformation Day, and on Reformation Day, we remember especially a historical story about how 500 years ago or so, Martin Luther, this random monk in Germany, stood up to the established church, and he told the established church that it needed to change. And he said it needed to change because it was claiming Jesus, and it was saying that it was preaching Jesus, but it had really at that point lost sense of the gospel, and it had lost sense of what it truly meant to follow in Jesus' way. The famous example is that it was telling very poor people who were in danger of starvation that if they really wanted to be forgiven, they needed to pay up. The church wanted to build some new palaces and cathedrals in Rome, and so they would make these little indulgence certificates that would guarantee you forgiveness, either you or your relative or even someone who'd passed on. And they said, if you buy these indulgences, you will have true forgiveness and God's blessing. So God's forgiveness was something that had to do with how much money you had. And to this practice, Luther said, no, God's grace is not something that's bought or sold. God's grace is found only in knowing and following Jesus. And that's where freedom can be found, says Jesus, in following Christ. Right? That's what Martin Luther said. Well, this wasn't just a message to the historical church 500 years ago, or not even just to different denominations beyond our own, but it's a message to each of us. And this is the question I think Jesus would ask each of us in this reading. Where are the places in our lives that we try to keep Jesus out? How do we say to God, yes, Jesus, I love you, but don't ask me to change too much? When are we telling God, yes, God, I'll follow you, but I'd kind of also like to do my own thing, and I'll let you know when I need you? Right? All of us can fall into that. Well, Jesus tells us today, whenever we're keeping God out, that's when we're finding ourselves enslaved. But whenever we're letting God in, we're becoming more free. We're discovering who we truly are, who we're truly meant to be, and we're truly living the life that is full of joy and freedom in God's presence. So today, Jesus really gives us quite an optimistic, wonderful message when he tells us, be free. Don't be a slave to anything. Don't be less than you are, but live in my presence and experience joy and freedom. Or as he himself says, and no one could say it better, continue in my word, and you will find the truth, and the truth will set you free. Amen. Let's rise and continue as we sing.